Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've been looking into the prophecy of Daniel, and we've seen how God raised up Daniel, even though he was a slave. He gave him a position of influence, and that Daniel begins to get a reputation as someone who has wisdom, who has a real walk with the living God, and who's able to have revelation of things that are mysteries to others. Well, this is going to place Daniel under a good deal of scrutiny. And chapter 6 is all about the new king that comes to power, Darius, and the way in which people around Darius become very, very jealous and very, very angry with Daniel. And because of Daniel's humility and wisdom, the king wants to lift him up and give him position, simply because it's good for the nation. It's good to have someone like Daniel around. It does not necessarily mean that Darius had a full faith in the living God in the same way that Daniel did, but he's a sensible enough king to recognize that Daniel's an asset and needs to be looked after, nurtured, and cherished, so that these gifts can be released for the benefit of Darius's kingdom. But there is great jealousy, and there are people very, very upset. Perhaps they feel that Daniel has been given a place, a position that they would have liked to have had. There's all sorts of reasons why people get jealous. But what these people want to do is try and find something that they can pin on Daniel to bring him down and to cause the king to want to get rid of him. Well, they look at Daniel's affairs, his administration, and they're struggling. They just can't find any way in. There's no element of corruption, dishonesty. They just can't find a single mistake. They look through the records, and there's just nothing there that they can even twist and turn. And then they decide, well, if we can't get him in terms of the work that he's doing, it's his religion, it's his faith. That's what we've got to try and challenge. And they noticed that three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prays and give thanks to his God. And that they think, well, if we can persuade the king to publish a decree that you shouldn't pray to any god except Darius, the king. And if anyone's found praying to another god, they need to be thrown into the den of lions. This is what they persuade the king. Sign this edict. They think they're appealing to his ego, and that he'll succumb and want people to think how wonderful he is and pray to him and so on. Well, they later come to the king and say, we found someone who's breaking that edict that you signed, that edict which is irreversible because you're the king. And it's Daniel. He is praying to his God, and you know you said that shouldn't happen. So out of that comes the extraordinary events where the king is going to have to struggle, because in his heart he realizes this is terrible. Daniel's a good man, a godly man, a righteous man. How can I throw him into the den of lions? But then if he doesn't throw him into the den of lions, then the people are going to say the king is weak. He makes his edicts and changes his mind. He's unreliable. Daniel is thrown into the den of lions, and the Lord protects him. The Lord protects him. And the king, when he comes to the den the following day, he's just longing to hear Daniel's voice. He's so fearful that Daniel has been destroyed, and he knows he's made a big mistake. Well, the Lord sends an angel. The mouths of the lions are shut, and Daniel is delivered. And the king then has those men who conspired against Daniel. They're thrown into the den, and they're eaten in seconds. the Lord looks after his own. We must pause, we must have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me and we'll reflect a little more on Daniel and chapter 6.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at Daniel chapter 6. This is an example, Richard, of a believer standing up for something he believes in and disobeying a law that he believes is wrong. In one sense, it's a very old story, but it's a current issue for many people around the world, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. We know there are Christians today who are forbidden to worship their God, forbidden to come together to pray and to read the Word of God, and they face this choice. Do they obey the law and give up their faith, or do they stand firm in their faith, still come together, even at great risk of their lives? And we know there are believers facing that challenge every day.
Daniel could have pretended. He could have pretended to bow down and worship the king rather than God. Is that valid? Can you pretend to do something?
Well, I guess some people do take that option of actually succumbing to whatever the authority of the king is saying, or to go through some guise of giving the appearance that they've been submissive. But no compromise. You know, Jesus made it clear, if you have put your hand, as it were, to the plough and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Once you've decided to follow, you need to keep following. Joshua, another example, he said, choose who you will serve. Elijah puts the challenge to the people. Are you going to have the prophets of Baal, or are you going to have the living God? When we choose the living God, there's no turning back. We have to trust him and press on.
Daniel, of course, was in a very high position politically in the land, and as a result, he obviously gleaned enemies, and there were people who wanted to see his downfall. So that is obviously the reason behind it. And I think, again, around the world you see many Christian believers who are in politics and in high position, and yet they're vulnerable, aren't they, in a very similar way, that the world hasn't changed much in that sense.
No, the world hasn't changed. And for those who have a faith in Christ, they do have to be extremely vigilant. They have to watch their backs very carefully. Every word they speak needs to be measured, because it can be misinterpreted and twisted. And it is very, very difficult for Christians. But having said that, we thank God for those who love the Lord. And we can go back in history. We could go back to someone like Wilberforce, who stood against the slave trade. And that's a long while ago, but he's a classic example of someone who would not change his opinions. And he had plenty of enemies, but he said, no, I'm going to do the right thing.
Do you think, finally, that believers should seek high political office, bearing in mind the possible dangers?
I think that to go into that realm needs a call from God. I think that we all want to help. We all, as Christians, should have compassion towards our fellow human beings. And there may well, for many, be better ways of doing it than getting involved in politics. But I do believe there are some who have that call on their lives, that they need to serve him through the political office. And, well, God bless them. And they need our prayers.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the book of Daniel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.